You're listening to South Florida's Good News Station, WCNO, Palm City.
This is God's plan for redemption, and it's good news.
Stand up for justice, stand up for what is right. If we'll stand together, we can win this fight. Stand up for the heroes, the patriots that died. Let us stand together to keep this land alive. Stand up for America. Stand up for the red, white, and blue. Stand up for America. Where all your dreams can come true. From the Hollywood Hills to Miss Liberty, from the Thousand Islands.
It's a new day with Rhett Palmer. How you doing? Jimmy J is in town, and he brought a couple of friends with him, and they're wearing their shirts to say Wounded Waters as opposed to Wounded Warriors. So what is this all about, Wounded Waters? Jimmy, introduce your friends.
Very well. Jim Genter. This is Kevin.
Hi. Hi, Kevin.
How's it going?
And my friend Chuck.
Kevin and Chuck.
Started this, Wounded Waters. I'd love him to tell you how it first started. And Mr. Palmer, you are doing God's work today.
All right, so Chuck, tell us what's your last name, Chuck?
Gerald.
Hey, Chuck. Gerald, where are you from originally?
I'm a Georgia boy. I lived in Atlanta for 52 years. My in-laws are here, so I've been coming here
Varsity
for 30
years. Varsity hot dogs, do you
yes,
miss
sir.
Them?
Yes, sir. I do. They were. You have to build up a tolerance for it.
Elvis liked them so much that he had an apartment across the street. That's what I was told. Is that the truth to that?
I don't know.
And so tell us about Wounded Waters.
Kevin Klepak came to our community several years ago. He's all homeboy, so to speak.
That's the fellow sitting next to
me? Yes, sir.
Okay.
Yep. He retired out as First Sergeant Rangers and came in. We met him at Downtown Vero Friday and started telling us about his organization. And I'm with Next Gen, and we run the PTSD group, and we said, this is a great partnership potential here. And talked, and we've set up programs. We all work together. He takes our veterans out, and it's really, really good stuff to get these men and women. We have female veterans as well. Takes these men and women out, and just to have the chance to get away, the camaraderie, to be on a boat where you're isolated with just your people, so to speak. It's amazing to see the change in the vets when they walk off that boat.
Now, are you yourself a veteran?
Yes.
Okay, Jimmy J, you're a veteran. And, of course, I want to welcome Kevin to the show. How you doing, Kevin?
How's it going?
Now, what's PTSD, post-traumatic
stress
disorder? Okay. So, first of all, thank you all for serving. And I feel like the little brother, even if I may be older than some of you, I don't know. But because I didn't serve, but I have sang in military installations like West Point and Plattsburgh and then Key West, you know, the naval base, stuff like that. And so, and Schwarzkopf sent me a letter saying he said though many songs are written during Operation Desert Storm, Desert Shield, mine were his favorite. The reason I bring that up is not to boast, but to show that at least I put my hand in there trying to do something. The letter's in the back room if you want to read it.
Mm-hmm.
The original signed. Anyway, so it just brings me up a wee little bit here, so I don't have these profounding feelings of inferiority that drown me, you know.
But I do,
in all sincerity, I'm the shoeshine kid from Poughkeepsie, New York, and I admire you guys, anybody puts their life on the line. Post-traumatic syndrome, of course. We just know we lost I met Wynonna Judd a few years ago, but her mother, Naomi, just committed suicide with a gun. And this is post-traumatic. I guess I don't understand why they're saying that's post-traumatic syndrome. The fame, the fortune, I don't know. I don't know what's going on, you know. But, Kevin, you started this whole thing?
Yep. Started it up about 5 years ago. Do you want me to go through the whole story? So, started up about 5 years ago. I've been stationed all over the place, everywhere from regular battalion to a lot of other units and stuff like that. And after one of our deployments, we came back. I started taking soldiers out to get them out of the barracks, take them out fishing, hiking, just get them outdoors just to relax, just to get them away from, hey, work, stop worrying about the world and stuff like that. After one of the fishing trips, one of the soldiers came up to me and said, thank you. I didn't think nothing of it. I just kept throwing stuff in the truck. I mean, it's just no big deal. And then he actually stopped me and he said, no, really, thank you. And it was just kind of weird to me. So I looked at him. I was like, well, what's going on? He's like, well, I was going to go home and kill myself tonight.
Last night.
Yeah. And so after the kid sat there and told me that he was going to go home and commit suicide, I sat down and talked with him, and he said, hey, no, being out here has actually really helped me a lot. He's like, it let me just kind of relax and not worry about the world and everything that's going on with it. So went home, talked to my wife. My wife, of course, she said, hey, just if you're helping him out, keep doing it. And so me being from here in Vero, I was born and raised here, we basically, my wife was like, well, take more people fishing. Well, if my wife's telling me to take people fishing, then I'm going to keep doing it. So started taking more guys out and doing it, and everyone said, hey, this is awesome, keep going. And eventually we formed a nonprofit, and here we are today. 2 years ago, we took out between 97 vets and first responders. Last year, we were at 111. And so we're continuing to keep growing and growing and growing. We do everything from fishing trips to diving trips to snorkeling trips to just river cruises. We do anything we can to just provide them that we call saltwater therapy. And it's not all about the actual whatever we're doing. It doesn't matter if we go out fishing, if we even catch any fish. It's all literally about just hanging out together and reestablishing that bond and that brotherhood that everyone had when we were in the military, or if they were in the firehouse or the police department or whatever it may be. And you kind of lose a sense of yourself once you kind of walk away from that. And it affected me really bad. I had a lot of depression throughout the years, and I was in that spot where I was in really dark places years ago, and an actual fishing trip helped me out. And that's why I just figured, hey, this is something I can do to actually help give back. So, and it's helped a lot of people. So, and I love it, and we're going to keep after it.
Being in the military, I guess it's like being in, what are those groups they have at the college? Fraternity.
ROTC and stuff,
right? We have the Navy SEALs come in here with frequency from down in Fort Pierce, and same with you guys. I mean, this is, you get kind of, I would think it would be addicting to have your brethren looking out for you.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you're willing to lay down your life for the guy next to you, and he you. And you go through tragedy and trauma. I mean, imagine people do a little high school play, or they go to college and do a little play, and they never forget the people they connect with after rehearsing that for 2 months and then parting company. Can you imagine working with somebody and with live ammo going over your head? Mm-hmm. I just can't imagine what that's like. And then to see death and carnage on the side, I can understand why a lot of people can't make it. And most importantly is they lose that safety net of their guys.
Because,
mm-hmm. you know, even if you feel a little weak, in numbers, we are strong collectively.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's got to be traumatizing unto itself, you know. And you did a double dose here, Jimmy J, because he was a cop in New York City, right?
Yeah.
Was it Brooklyn? Was it New York City?
City of White Plains.
City of White Plains.
Yeah, believe it or not, after Vietnam, you couldn't get on the police in New York City. They were laying them off.
Oh.
Sanitation, everything.
How did you get in?
8 of us from the Bronx went to White Plains.
Oh, okay.
It was only like 20 minutes away.
No, that's not bad.
No.
But you have a connection with that, too.
Yeah.
That becomes a brotherhood.
Yes.
And a sisterhood, whatever
yes.
you want to call it.
Yes.
Let's just say brotherhood. For the sake, we don't have to be politically correct and all that. So anyway, it's got to be very traumatizing. Now, Wounded Waters. See, now, when you first told me this, I thought you were saying Wounded Warriors. Now,
mm-hmm.
now, I understand there was a big controversy a few years ago about Wounded Warriors. Mm-hmm. And I can't believe what kind of a despot, or what's the right word I'm looking for, what kind of a creepy person would come in and use a name and usurp money that's given for Wounded Warriors, right? I don't know the details of it. I really don't need to know. But is that why you named it Wounded Waters as opposed to Wounded Warriors?
No, when we were trying to figure out names, this Wounded Warriors, everyone associates Wounded Warriors with the Wounded Warrior Project, with that affiliation. And it's just, and they've done really well, and they've kind of branded that name.
Did they clean up?
I don't know. I don't want to get in all right, their stuff.
Yeah.
Okay. I mean, I focus on our stuff, and okay, that's good enough.
That's
for me.
Wise.
Yeah. So, and I mean, the good thing with us, like all of our money and donations that we get in, it all goes right back into the vets, 100%. It either goes into fuel, bait, ice, boat repairs, rods, tackle, stuff like that. Everyone in our organizations are all volunteers, and nobody gets any money from it at all. So, and that's how we're keeping it along. I mean, I'm putting in tons of my money just to keep it going. So, but
not that it's obligatory, but is it faith-based somehow?
No, nothing's
obligated.
No, we don't. I don't discriminate against any person, anything, or anything like that. Like,
no.
It doesn't matter if you're a vet or a first responder or a family member of somebody that has served or something like that. Hey, if you are having a rough time, or even if you're not having a rough time, you just want to get out and just hang out with some people, then that's what it's all about. It's all just about that reconnection.
Saltwater therapy.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Mm-hmm.
Is that a new term, or did you come up with that yourself, or is...
I don't know where it actually came up with, but I've just been using it. So,
if it's not in a song, I'm definitely going to put it in one of my songs.
Yeah,
I'm thinking, I'm going to steal that.
But I mean, it's amazing when you get a just random group of people. A lot of the times, that people don't know each other and stuff like that, and you just kind of see throughout the day or whatever we're doing, whether we're fishing or just on a river cruise, you just kind of see everyone just kind of like everything just kind of washes away from them, and they relax. They're having a good time. They're smiling. We've seen people that have come to our some of our PTSD groups and stuff like that, where they've got a lot of issues and stuff like that. They don't want to talk, but you get them out on a boat and they relax. They're smiling. They're having a good time, and that's what it's all about. It's all about just helping somebody out, no matter how you may be affecting them, is what really helps.
Well, guys are different. I remember. I'm the kind of guy, you know, I'm still whining about the girl that broke my heart 40 years ago, you know? And you wouldn't want to be around me 30-something years ago. It's like, oh, God, bury the guy, you know? But my brother was the opposite, and I lost him on 911. It's a long story. He wasn't in New York City, but it was a collateral damage, let's put it that way. But he was the type, suddenly we had the appearance of a young lady 2 years later who said, she watched... what's that thing where you check out your bloodline, your DNA?
Ancestry.
And she was his daughter. He had told me, he said, don't tell mom, but I think I have a daughter somewhere. When he was 17, fell in love with a little Jewish girl. We were not Jews. So the family who ran the Jewish Community Center for Poughkeepsie, New York, separated them and sent her to a school for unwed mothers and put their tail between the legs in embarrassment and moved to another town, I think Buffalo, New York or something. But anyway, he never hiding her hair, nothing. He never complained, never said his heart was broken until letters were revealed later on. He wanted to keep the relationship going. And he did end up marrying, lived on his watercraft. Talk about saltwater therapy. He spent he was a straight-A student, but then dropped out of college. Last time I would see him on Amelia Island, I said, what happened to you? Why would a guy with straight A's, handsome guy, had all the girls you could possibly want, and you're on your way to becoming a dental surgeon? He said, well, I was looking out the window one day in college. He said, I just knew I didn't want to spend my life inside. And he didn't. And that's saltwater therapy.
Mm-hmm.
And there is something, if you notice, there's something about people that are stressed, because I've interviewed a lot of sea captains.
Mm-hmm.
Going on 18 cruises. I know that's not really tough riding, but I have interviewed a lot of sea captains. I've also interviewed a lot of guys up in Maine who actually go out. They're lobster guys. And there's not all of them are like this, but there are guys that there seems to be a thread that I've noticed that, you know, it's not obviously not everybody, but a lot of guys that are traumatized seem to find solace on the waters.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if it's the peace that prevails out there on the waters. You know, it can also occur out in a field, mm-hmm. you know.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you might have an excuse to go hunting mm-hmm. or fishing or whatever it is. It's mostly an excuse to really just kind of calm down, right?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
So now I'd like to get to know each of you. See, now, are you here today? I wanted to know what your intent. Are you here to let people know so you can collect money? Or are you first and foremost here to let people know, other vets know, that you're available for them?
Mm-hmm. It's about all of that.
All
so,
that.
I mean, we can definitely use donations, especially with the prices of everything going up within the last year, especially gas. Gas is not cheap. And in our big boat, I mean, that takes 250 gallons of fuel.
How big of a boat is it?
It's a 23-foot ProCat, and mm-hmm. we also have a 22-foot Pathfinder that we use in the river for fishing in there.
Okay.
So,
and that's maybe just the beginning.
Yeah, we've been looking over the last year for a lot bigger boat. We want to get into the higher 30 to 40 foot class because we need more space. I mean, both of these guys have been out on trips before, and they can tell you that. I mean, once you get six guys out and fishing and you're all having a good time, it can get kind of tight and cramped. So we definitely want to be able to expand and grow, but we're just not at that point yet. So once we get to there, we'll keep going.
Well, that'll save. I mean, I would think that socialization also includes numbers. Maybe not necessarily, but mm-hmm. it certainly would help if you had a large watercraft where mm-hmm. you could go out to sea together, you know.
Yep.
Right. You get to throw in lines. Yep. It gets tight.
So you started this.
Yep.
How'd you start this? I mean, all of a sudden, you like to fish, mm-hmm. and you grab what? Him or somebody and say, hey, you want to go fishing? We're going to call ourselves Wounded Waters.
Nope. I literally just started it, like I said, after that one kid that just said that he was just going to commit suicide. Once I had that one soldier that I've known for years, and we just came back from this. We were back for about, I don't know, a month after a really bad deployment. We lost a lot of good guys on it, and all of us were struggling that came back because we, like I said, we lost a lot of people. And We came back and started taking guys out fishing, and it became just a thing. Everyone said, hey, this is really helping, getting them outdoors and stuff like that. And so I kept doing it. And eventually we formed the nonprofit once I got into a position where I had a little bit of extra free time where I could keep doing it more. And then once it was time for me to retire, I just had to make a decision. Do I just stay in the Army and move on to become a Sergeant Major, or do I retire and try to make this thing as big as I possibly can?
So you left your military career to start this?
Yeah, I retired last year. Did a little over 20 years.
So you will get a retirement.
Yeah.
That's good.
Yep. So I get my retirement. So that way I can focus as much as I can onto this. So every day I'm always trying to do something and try to keep this going or figure out some new way to just to keep it growing.
That's so this is thing. In its embryonic stages. When did this start?
So we officially formed the nonprofit, I think it was 2018.
So you've been doing it for a while.
Yeah, we've been doing it for a while. I mean, I've been, like I said, I grew up down here in Vero. I'm from here. Went to high school, so same as my wife. And I've always been addicted to the water. So I was the little kid that was 12 years old cruising around in a river in a
John boat. Who introduced you, your dad?
To fishing? Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah, my whole family has always been big into diving and hunting and stuff like that. So I've always been a big...
So was the connection with your dad?
Predominantly? What do you mean?
Well, I didn't have a dad. My mm-hmm. dad was an attorney at law, killed in a car accident, Syracuse law, killed in a car accident the day before my fifth birthday. So I never had that. So I've never been into fishing.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I had a stepfather took me fishing once. But how come... 60 years later, I remember the one time we rented a rowboat in Fishkill, New York, and went fishing.
Yep.
What is that?
It's just that connection. It's that
right.
connection, and that's what we try to achieve onto the boat. So it's just getting that connection so that way we can actually positively affect people.
So there's one guy opening up. Thank God that kid opened up.
Mm-hmm.
How's he doing, by the way?
He's doing great. So he's married now. He's got two kids. He's still in the military, and he's doing awesome. So,
wow. Well, the word will get out. You know, a few years ago, we have a sailing club that started here.
Mm-hmm.
And when they were in their fragile embryonic stages, they came. They were on a show. We put them in our magazine. And now they've grown exponentially, and I can see that happening here. Mm-hmm. It's been a slow go, probably initially, right?
Yeah. It's been a very long, slow struggle because I'm an Army guy. I can shoot and blow stuff up really, really good. But as far as doing business sense, even though I have a business degree, it's completely different. I never knew anything about a nonprofit, didn't know how to form it, anything like that. So, I mean, we had to stumble and learn along the entire way. And some of it was really great. Some of it was really bad. Some stuff we just didn't know. But I mean, it's been a good adventure. I'll just say that stuff. I've learned a lot. And we're still, I mean, everything that we're doing is to try to just get the word out, let more veterans know that think that they're at home, let them know that they're not alone. I mean, a big thing that all of us say all the time is like, it's okay to not be okay. Mm-hmm. So, and people need to accept that. So, I mean, everyone that was ever in the military or first responder or something like that, they've dealt with trauma one way or another. Some of them really, really bad. Some of them not. But, I mean, everyone has their own experiences, and it's all about, hey, just being able to accept those and accept that, hey, stuff has happened to you, but, I mean, it's not – that doesn't define your life. That's just a portion of your life. So, hey, keep moving on. There's still a great life ahead.
Dr. Sinatra is a world-famous doctor. I have him on the show with great frequency. He's in his mid-70s now, but a lot about health products and things. Well, he said there's a small enclave in Greece where the men live on average at least 20 years longer than the rest of the men in the world. And I don't know. I said, what's the difference? The difference is they get together and they talk about their feelings. Mm-hmm. Now, that sounds, you know, back in the 60s, we go, you know, it's amazing how lonely people are. Like my brother never letting us know that he was hurt. I'm sure you guys can relate to this. I remember the first time I really got my heart squished, and it was, it was early life, but I was already an adult, and I thought, wow, I'm out here on this iceberg all alone, and, you know, I'm not prone to suicide, but you're out there all alone, and it's terrifying until somebody comes along and says, oh, yeah, I've been through that. Oh, yeah, well, you wake up in the morning, and you're shaking. Yeah, been there. Oh, wow. We're terribly unique. What's the thing we use? We have a saying, you and I, tragically unique or terminally unique.
Terminally unique.
Yeah. Terminally unique. And then we find out, you know, that it's somehow when you share a problem, it's cut in two.
Yeah. So, and then the hardest problem is literally getting the veteran or whoever it is outside of their home. Getting them out into the world and around other people. That's 50% of the problem right there. Once you can get them out and actually socializing and being around other people, everything else is usually downhill from there.
It's kind of weird how we hibernate. I remember when I was 16, a friend of mine jumped off a train, committed suicide, and I got the word. I was maybe 15, 16. And I remember I went into my room, and I wouldn't come out for a couple of weeks watching TV. I don't know. It's kind of weird. And then finally, my stepdad said, "Hey, you got to get out. You got to get back out into the world. You just can't go because it's like a twirling vortex. You just keep going down deeper and deeper, and to pluck somebody out of that, literally living hell." Now, Jimmy J and I are friends who go way back. You got something to say, Jimmy?
Yes, I did. Pertaining to what you and Kevin were just talking about, we had a young man come into our group. Just gotten out of service. He lost a lot of people around him, and even being out continues to lose people around him. They don't necessarily die in a war. Sometimes they die in Vero Beach. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And we were very worried about him in the beginning. Mm-hmm. I wrote him this note. After my initial trauma, I felt no one understood me, and I did not understand others until I found Monday night, 7 p.m. PTSD group. I was an American in a foreign land, not capable of communicating with the masses in any way. Then on Monday night, I attended a PTSD meeting and began to hear my own language, not just from my own country, but my own neighborhood and family. They understood me, and I understood them. I now come from a place where the blind see, the deaf hear, the sick get up from their beds and walk. The place I come from is PTSD recovery. At Dogs for Life, Monday night, 7 p.m., come save your life and the lives of your brothers and sisters. The truth will set you free. Jim Genta, U.S. Navy, 64 to 68. It's everything you guys are just talking about. We can't brag or boast to each other. We've all been there.
Mm.
But we can get real when you see these heroes cry. Mm. This kid came around. He's now training to be a Green Beret. I mean, willing to go back. You know, and we were very worried about him as a group. Right?
He was
right.
Lost. He was completely lost. He lost himself. He was spiraling out of control. Between all of us here who have really helped him out, I mean, we've helped him get counseling. We've helped him. I helped him find a job with a friend that I knew. He's back into college now. One of our counselors actually knows a lot of people in the SF community. Actually got him a tryout to actually go back into the military and try to see if that would help him out. And so he's actually doing well. He's progressing better, and he's got a good support system now. So which that is the support system is key. So especially with anybody that's got any trouble or trauma or anything like that, because if you don't have a support system, you don't have anybody there to help lift you up.
You know. it's kind of like these 12-step programs that work. Somebody's out there all on their own, they're isolated, and they're dying on the vine by themselves. And when you collectively get together with others, whatever the addiction, whatever the tragedy is, you know, there's a collective power that when people get together, that's disarming, and this in this case disarms profound fear. You know, just like I, you know, just you hear about it all the time. And do you have an official mission statement?
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. What is it? It's okay not to be okay, or
no? I mean, it keeps evolving because we are always keep evolving. But the biggest thing is to get veterans and first responders out onto the water. To help them basically to relax.
Okay, what I'm hearing though is a marketing guy, you don't have an official mission statement.
We do. We've got an official one,
yeah.
We don't have an
official
one. Yeah, I don't have an official one. So he's trying to fake it. Okay, because I was thinking, I don't know how long that is, but as a marketing guy, I'll be happy to look at maybe somebody else, but I think what you said before too, it's really important, is it's okay not to be okay. Mm-hmm. That is the essential message. I mean, because it would be great if... I see you all have these matching shirts. Nice creation, whoever created that. Is that a unique design that artist put together?
Yeah, we hired a designer. He came up with the shirt, and we made some modifications to it, and this is our end product, so
that's
we're
great.
All happy with it.
Of course, you know, I'm going to pick my big nose in it. I'm just thinking it would be great if it said it's okay not to be okay either on the back or underneath that, just because that's freeing, even for a guy like me. I mean, I'm going like, you guys are talking, I'm going, gosh, can I join? I wasn't even in the military. No, well, seriously, you know, because of that connection.
Right.
And you know, women are part of this, too.
Yes. Oh, yeah. Yes. Absolutely. Yep. We do a lot of women's trips. We've actually, one of our PTSD groups is an all-women's group, and we've taken them out on trips and river cruises. So
well, you know, there's 400 women that get together every year, and they put $1,000 in. It's $400,000. Then they get together, they confer. I think they take... I don't know. Maybe it's 12 different organizations.
Mm-hmm.
Well, it can't be 12 because not that much money. I think they get a lot more money than that, maybe. But anyway, I was at one of their gatherings, and they give checks like $100,000 to different groups. Wow. I mean, with 100 grand right now, and maybe the president or CEO of some big boating company that would receive a lot of accolades and is going to put other men and women and families over the edge to buy their product because they participate in Wounded Waters. Now, obviously, this is starting in 18, so 19, 20, 21, 22. This is less than 4 years old.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah, officially.
So, yeah, and hopefully making this work and working out the kinks. It's kind of like a franchise. You pay a lot of money to get into a franchise because they've fallen forward to success. Studies show 97% of all franchises are in business 5 years later, and like 95% of all people who go in business by themselves are out of business within 5 years. So is your intent... to duplicate, or am I premature in asking
so, no,
this?
So our overall big goal is yes, 100%. I mean, our next big jump is definitely obviously get a new boat and stuff like that and keep growing. But we want to build what's called Wounded Waters Ranch, where it's a resort.
Wounded Waters Ranch.
Yep.
And what is that?
We want it to be where it's basically like a resort or retreat type setting, all inclusive, where we can bring our first responders and our vets from all over, plus their families, and... we give them a 3 or 4 day vacation. We take them out diving. We do counseling with them if they want it. We do snorkeling trips, sunset cruises, and we just basically just it's a way to say hey, thank you for everything you've done for us. And then basically just a rinse and repeat. Just keep doing that. And then what we'd like to be able to do is eventually we are a big enough organization where we are all over the place, where we can send guys up to Alaska to go salmon fishing or go down to Costa Rica and go marlin fishing. Just we'd like to be able to do stuff all over the place.
Are you administratively gifted?
No.
Who's doing? I'm not. I can help you collect some money, maybe.
We have a good, strong board.
Yes. So, yeah.
And they're all wounded warriors or wounded waters.
Not all of them, but in one way or another, there's somebody that can bring something good to the table for our organization.
Mm-hmm.
Because there's a lot of people out there, just like yourself, like that may have not served, but they can help us out tremendously. Whether it's like you getting us on the radio and getting the word out there for us.
course.
Yeah.
Or if it's somebody else, like we partnered up with MHA, the Mental Health Association. So Angela, she's on our board, and she is phenomenal. So we've lined ourselves up with people, and we're continuing to try to keep making the board stronger and better, so that way this can keep succeeding.
Yeah, I don't know if you have it yet, but definitely you need either somebody that does that for a living to help you create a map, mm-hmm. so you know where you're going and what specific goals are leading to your ultimate goals or whatever, mm-hmm. As you go along. I would think, I'm the kind of guy, we have congressmen and senators. Once you become a congressman and senators, your children never have to pay for education.
Mm-hmm.
If you serve in the military and act, definitely in combat, the children of those heroes should never have to pay mm-hmm. for education, let alone we have homeless running around because of the post-traumatic syndrome, And I guess hopefully all will work together. I know we have housing in Indian River County that's available for vets. I think there's a bunch of houses they have up in Sebastian, and people have helped out. I would think it would be hopefully relatively touching. This, if I might give advice, and I give advice, it's not asked for, so it's quite arrogant.
So you're good at that.
I have a nephew, Eli, and the whole family thinks that he's dating this girl who's a little on the psychotic side, So anyway, so Uncle Rhett goes over to what's the town below Tampa there, St. Pete.
Okay.
And we go into this Italian restaurant, and all of a sudden I'm going, Eli, and I know he loves me and I love him. He's always been the one that's giving long eye contact, smiled at me the time he was a little kid.
Mm-hmm.
There's love there. And I said, bah, 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 bah. And all of a sudden he says, I really don't like unsolicited advice. And so you know what I did? Because of things I've been involved with, there was silence, and I said, Eli, Uncle Rhett's wrong, and I apologize, because unsolicited advice is arrogance. So I don't want you to construe me as arrogant. I'm just an idea guy, and I throw out ideas, but I just a million things are going through my head right now. One thing I would like to tell you as a marketing guy, uh-huh. and as a radio guy, if you see our sign here, be opinionated, enthusiastic, tell stories. Dr. Norman Vincent Peale, did you ever hear him? He wrote The Power of Positive Thinking.
Right.
Yep. You're not going to believe it.
I grew up on that book.
I was a diffident, shy, backward, awkward, reticent young man. And then I read that book at 20. And it changed. Up to that point, I'd stare at my feet if there were six people in the room. I still get nervous if there's seven people in here, 10 people in here, I get nervous. Now, give me 10,000. I got it. They're one baby altogether, and I can handle the stage. But anyway, so the point being, he said, and you said you read that book.
Yes.
I'd like to talk more about that in the future. I got to meet him twice, by the way.
Really?
Yeah. The Power of Positive Thinking. He threw it in the garbage.
Mm-hmm.
And I confirmed this with his widow later on, Ruth. Is it true that he wrote the book, The Power of Positive Thinking? Threw it in the garbage. She took it out, sent it back to the publishers, and said, you need to reconsider this. So last I knew, 20 years ago, it had sold 35 million copies. That's pretty wild.
Yeah.
35 million.
Right.
That means that 10 bucks each, that's $3.5 billion. I think I'm going to become a publisher. I'll see you later. No, but seriously. So anyway, this is what Dr. Peale said in one of his books. He said, and maybe it was to do with funding, I'm not really sure, but he said, if you get people's heart over the fence, their pocketbooks will follow, and there's nothing wrong in wanting to grow at this point and duplicate this. You're saving lives. It's a safety net. So what I'm going to ask, and I just quickly booked you guys, and I didn't give you any warning, but I would like to say, and you're going to have to think quick on your toes, but mm-hmm. I would like to get stories.
Mm-hmm.
A trauma stories. Now, maybe some of them end well, and maybe some of them don't end well. But if you engages the heart of people, and if you have stories, because now I'm thinking, Rhett, maybe you could do a bunch of interviews and put out a book. That's a possibility. I'll interview the guys for you if you want, and then we can have them transcribed. I don't know what it's going to take. I'm willing to participate. But and I've been doing this 28 years, so... So stories really help. Somebody connects, they hear a story, they can relate to it. There's no doubt you're going to save lives. I remember there was a kid when I was a kid, and we all went out and drank beers together. Now, I'm not saying what's right. I'm not saying what's wrong. But maybe if he had a problem in his life and didn't tell anybody else about it, commit suicide, what happened to what's his name? Well, he felt ostracized because in some way he wasn't like the rest of us, you know? Mm-hmm. And so, maybe you're different than me. I don't know. And even if you're doing something that maybe the Bible's not too pleasing with, we want you to live. I don't believe in capital. I don't believe in killing babies, and I don't believe in capital punishment. Because as long as somebody's breathing, there's still the opportunity for them to repent, to turn around, for there to be a conversion. I mean, God's kind of known for that, isn't he? I mean, look mm-hmm. at Moses. Now, see, I'm dragging this out a little. While I'm doing this, you're supposed to be thinking about a story, okay? So this is me dragging it out. And so, but with Moses was a murderer, okay? And God used him. David sent Uriah to the front line so he would die, and then he could date his widow, okay? So, and repented later on. Paul, who was Saul, who held the cloaks of those that were stoning Stephen to death. So God's nature is forgiveness and to turn lives around, and that's what you guys are all about. And I'm on the religious side. I don't consider myself religious whatsoever, but I am spiritually connected to my higher power happens to be Jesus. But I accept everybody, whether you're atheist, whether you're Buddhist, I'm just here to tell you about the love that I have found, and that's it. So now let's get into the stories.
We wanted to take you out on the river because I know you're not a big fan of the ocean.
No.
With some of our people, we have a beautiful young lady who is awarded a bronze star.
Ingrid.
And what is Ingrid? You know Ingrid.
Sounds awful familiar.
Ingrid Hernandez. You had her on your show.
Oh, yes.
Mary Kay lady.
She's pretty enough to be a model or a movie star.
Bronze star,
she's
50
wonderful.
Cal.
Married.
Yes.
A group of kids, I guess.
Yes. Yep.
A real go-getter, great,
yes,
affable,
absolutely,
outgoing personality.
Yes. Yep. But her Logan could tell you how it was and how it is today, so to speak. This kid was in trouble with me. We were actually afraid for him. And to see...
For who?
Logan,
the young man,
who had just come back. And I guess there was a lot of death around him.
Yeah.
And still, even after out now, friends commit suicide. And we thought we were going to lose him to the world or whatever. And he's doing so well. It's really, we see miracles. And you're talking, and there's somebody in a very big house over on the beach, but they're lonely as hell.
Yeah.
And they're listening to you right now.
Yeah.
You know?
And they could help out.
That, and this stuff kills people, Red.
Oh, you mean you're talking about somebody who was in...
yes, whatever. Red, you mentioned about PTSD earlier.
Yeah.
There's the past 2 years, COVID, people stuck at home. Teenagers, you know, is very high right now with suicide, etc. There's a lot of stuff going on.
Yeah, the teenage rate is crazy. I think it's the highest it's ever been among girls 14 to 17.
For example. Right.
Yeah.
But see, we don't have to play the game. We could actually speak English, so to speak. Really talk about it, you know? Whoever cries, whoever, whatever. But when you leave, you start to begin to heal. When you sit there, we don't know you.
Mm.
I personally know you, but we don't know you until you tell us and let us know. Not the big, cute stories and everything, but who am I? Mm. I'm not as large as I appear, right? You know what I'm saying? Like when you look in your little mirror, objects may appear... Well, you and I are big, but you know what
things
I'm saying.
Things in the mirror are larger than they look.
Yes. I don't do well with country music, you know what I mean? Your grandmother's dead, the puppy's dead. I have trouble with all that stuff, you know? But I hope this reaches someone who's happy listening to this saying, oh, my God, there's a place, you know?
You know, it's tough. We're the toughest on ourselves.
Yeah.
You know, like Naomi Judd committing suicide with a gun. Okay, so you're raised up to a level which is inappropriate, because for me, I believe only God should get that glory, no man. We all have feet of clay. And suddenly you're famous and your expectations. I interviewed Garth Brooks. Now, why do I bring up Garth Brooks? I bring up Garth Brooks because I wanted to be famous when I was younger. I won first place Nashville's Music City Song Festival. Am I boasting? No, I'm bringing this up for a reason. Thank God I didn't become rich and famous with that group. Because I tell you what, Garth was like you guys. Remember, I didn't have a dad, so I wasn't into football and stuff. He was in the football team. In the football team, you learn the power of team. Remember Sam Walton, who started Walmart and Sam's? He said in his book, individuals don't succeed, teams do. So he was seasoned with teamwork. So when Garth all of a sudden goes from eating macaroni and cheese down the street, I know the guy where he used to work with, selling cowboy boots for $6 an hour in Goodlettsville, right outside of Nashville, and then goes on to being worth $900 million, and the whole world's looking at you. You better have your act together, because suddenly you're thrust into a position of give. And until you find out you're in a position of service to others, which is the only thing that will emancipate you from the chains of that kind of stuff. And so too here. You guys are emancipating yourselves from profound hurts and trauma being in the military by putting others first. And it's I'm a scriptural guy, forgive me, but it says, give unto others, and your, I don't know where it is, it might be the Torah, it might be the New Testament, I don't know. Give unto others, and your light will rise out of the darkness like the noonday sun. You know, I remember one time when this girl broke my heart. All these heartbreaks I've had, you know. So, but I'm doing a patriotic concert. They flew me in from New York to do a patriotic concert on the other side of Florida at this big grounds, this Christian grounds. Anyway, so some lady there, Catholic, says, "Why don't you come to Haiti and feed the hungry?" I'd already been to Africa, and so I didn't have any money. And some guy said, I'll pay the way, and so I go to Haiti. Well, the best thing I could do for myself at that time was feed the hungry people. So what you're doing, and people to jump on board and get involved, is just, you know, this is only the beginnings. It'd be great to see if you guys have a map, or to get your board to create a map, where you are now, where you want to go, and then go backwards. And there are people that do this for a living that can show step by step how are you going to get there.
Yep. And we've got a strategic plan.
You do. Yeah. Great.
Yep. We've got all the stuff, the business stuff. I try to keep away from the business stuff. Yeah. So even though I am the founder and I am on the board with Chuck and everyone else and stuff like that, and I'm an hourly guy. I like hanging out with people. I like fishing. I like doing all other stuff like that. But yeah, board meetings and all other stuff, that's not my forte. I do it because we have to. But, yeah.
If I can just say something real
quick. Sir,
we're at a point now where we have crested. We are losing more to suicide than we have the war.
Yep.
And that's going to continue. So this war, this fighting, has not ended. It will not end for years and years and years. Because now we're going through our Vietnam guys who didn't have the welcome back. Yeah. They were young kids. They were drafted. They were thrown over there. Their brains don't fully develop till they're 25 years old.
Yeah,
for a male.
Males, yeah.
Right? So you got a kid that's brain, now his brain is a little warped because it has developed different than what the rest of our society. So you come back, you don't quite fit in. You don't know why. Well, there is a physiological reason for that as well, as just the trauma that you've experienced.
It is. You're right. When you're younger, you don't know, particularly males. Females mature earlier on, I think, because God and nature know they might have offspring and they have to mature. A boy 20 is maybe 14, where a girl 20 is about 27, you know, honestly and maturity-wise. I have a few things, but it's amazing what you guys are going through. I really think this is a great idea. Now, where did you service? What branch did you serve?
I was in the Army.
You were in the Army?
Yeah, I was in 75 to 78.
75 to 78.
Yeah.
So did you see any combat yourself?
No, I did not see combat action. I was right in the tail end of it. I tried, but thank God the good Lord kept me out of it. Because I wanted to be a soldier all my life, and when I failed to make combat, I was like, oh, my life is devastated. But looking back, I'm the lucky one.
But you did experience the novelty and the conditioning of what it's like to be part of a family. I can't imagine.
Well, and I dealt with the vets, because I was still enlisted, so we still had people in that were still going through this. So we saw what happened at the end of Vietnam, and then I've just remained involved with the veterans, and I've had several good friends. Heroes. I mean, these people are heroes. These are people they make movies out of, come back, and they're broken. They're snapped in half. They can't function. And to see these people, and here I am looking up to them, and these are my heroes, and I'm thinking, yeah, I got to do something for them. This is not right. because we kind of bring them back and dump them. We offer a lot of things. We give money, whatever, but we're not meeting the true need of the veteran, and that's getting into the heart of the veteran.
That safety net is a fellowship.
Yeah,
the fellowship is what saves you. Mm-hmm. You know, having somebody look you in the eye. It's also if you think about on a spiritual level, when we can surrender our pride and say, like you said, it's okay mm-hmm. not to be okay. Mm-hmm. You know, and you're right about a young mind. There was not a lot of touching in my household. There was none. I don't remember ever being hugged. No one ever read a story to me. Why am I bringing this up? Because my grandmother, took me 6 years, and I still have to intellectually override this. I get into the car. My grandfather's driving. My grandmother's in the middle seat. And it's one of those cars that had the little push buttons. What were those? Dakotas, or what were they called? Those
the
things?
Old Plymouths.
Yeah.
Push buttons.
So anyway, we're in that car. It was blue with, I think, a white interior. But anyway, so we're driving along. And I get into it, and she slaps my leg like this. For 60 years, I always thought my grandmother was weird. That was weird. It's like, what is that all about? My immediate emotional reaction is that she was odd. And because I never knew about that. And it took years later to go, she wasn't being odd. She was touching. That's what some normal people do. Mm-hmm. But when it's foreign to us, and when you get these boys that go over there, and they're 18 years of age, I guess they can't smoke or drink legally, but they can give their lives legally, which that's a whole other thing. It's a bunch of bunk. But anyway, that's a whole other subject for a whole other day. But you're right, the maturity of the male mind. So do either of you have a story? Do you have a story of either someone you've heard that, you know, you think about it, frequency or somebody, or like I know I've seen in this town, mm-hmm. Those in emergency care. One guy who was loved. I hardly knew the guy, but we, you know, waved him out of the fire truck, and a few years ago, out of the blue, he goes into the woods, and that's the last we're going to see of him, you know? Mm-hmm. So do you have a story?
I got tons of stories. some of them are probably not appropriate for the radio. What do you want to hear about?
Well, I don't know what's not appropriate. In other words, you know, it's the connection. I mean, something that's going to, when people hear that, and it's sad without using names, but people maybe now realize they're in their cozy little insulated life. Mm-hmm. And yeah, it's great. The red, white, and blue. Thank you for serving. See you later.
Yeah.
And, you know, like when I see these Vietnam, anytime I see a guy, and I hope they all do, anytime I see a guy with a Vietnam cap on, I get right up, I go over, and I shake his hand. And here's what happens. Thank you for serving our country. Oh, thank you. They go on and on. And I say, no, I'll come over here to thank you. You have to thank me for thanking you or whatever it is, you know. Mm-hmm. So, anyway, it's a good thing to do. We should all do that. Because they can imagine coming back from that trauma.
Yep.
And they threw baby doll heads at him.
It was sad.
You had to come out of uniform, and I had to, when I traveled, you had to be out of uniform because people would attack you.
Yeah. People were angry. And
right.
I'm not saying they're not completely
soldiers.
Evil for doing that, but they didn't know who to be angry with. Mm-hmm. And instead of being angry at those leaderships that sent innocent boys, I mean, think of all the young Vietnamese, all the North and South, all the young American boys, wherever they're from, Canadian. I mean, just lives, just, you know, it's... It's kind of like the Civil War. It's like
we fight our wars on the backs of our children.
Yes.
It's not the old politicians that go to war. I love that commercial that was back during the 70s where two old, ancient politicians got out and fist fight. And because they were basically saying, let the politicians fight. Stop sending our children to fight.
Yeah.
One of the anti-war back in the 60s and 70s. But, yeah, we fight wars on the back of our children.
And in our arrogance, thinking that we're the police of the world. Some people, I mean, it's their choice.
Mm-hmm.
Not everybody wants democracy. I do. You do. You know, but whatever.
Yep.
You know, then again, it's hard to see an oppressor. Mm-hmm. I mean, there's a guy we took out a few years ago. I don't think it was Operation Desert Storm, Desert Shield, but it was after that. And, you know, I'm talking about Saddam Hussein now. I don't like bullies.
I was there.
Oh, you were?
Yeah. Yep. So,
yeah.
No, I wasn't physically there when they actually captured or anything like that, but I was in country. I did the combat jump in Iraq and with the 173rd and stuff like that. So, I mean, I got 8 deployments between Iraq and Afghanistan. So,
it's a hard decision to make because even, and I've met all the Bushes, and the father thought, you know, you go in there, you're going to stir up a can of worms, or actually it's at a hornet's nest, mm-hmm. and then W goes in there, and they got misinformation or whatever it is that they're building. So who knows what's behind this whole thing? And there's also the greed and economy and mm-hmm. things that we, as regular folks, don't even think about. But so what's the next move for? Now, by the way, in case you're just tuning in, we're talking with Wounded Waters. Wounded Waters. Now, you can't see it on the radio unless you're watching on Facebook here. But they how much more time do we have, Mr. B? Are we in red, white? How many?
3 minutes.
Okay, so my timing was pretty good on that instinctively, wasn't it? Okay, now what I want to know is we're talking with Wounded Waters. These are guys that served. They get together and they go fishing. This is for women and men who served in the military to have to collectively help each other with post-traumatic stress syndrome.
Disorder.
And all I can do is imagine right now, folks, you know, like we're in this studio. Somebody drives by and shoots a hole in the glass. That's it. And they're gone. I'm going to be having nightmares for the next 10 years of what just happened, even though no one was hurt. Can you imagine being out there and having live ammo, you know, shooting at you, you know? And
sounds like another day at work for me.
So you saw that, huh?
Oh yeah. I've been over there.
Been blown up, been shot.
Yeah.
Shot?
I've been through a lot, so I've that's the
but
stuff.
But you seem affable, friendly. You smile. You laugh. Is your key socializing with other vets?
I mean, once you get out, you kind of lose that sense of yourself and stuff like that. So you try to get around other groups of individuals that may not have been through the exact same experiences, but they know the military, they know what you've been through, they know what they've been through, and you kind of grow that brotherhood and that bond. So I love these guys. I hang out with them all the time, and they're basically, they are like my brothers.
Cool. If you know somebody who is who was in war or a vet, whether they were in war or not, and they know the comfort of having a brotherhood and sisterhood in the military, your website is?
At woundedwaters.org.
Very easy. Woundedwaters.org. Woundedwaters.org.
Yep.
Woundedwaters.org. And is there anything, before we say goodbye, that I have been remiss in asking you?
Also, law enforcement. We've been seeing that lately.
Oh, they can join?
Oh, yes. Any first responder.
Oh, it's Wounded Waters.
Yep.
I see.
Yes.
Yep.
So it doesn't matter.
As you know. Sorry, fire department a few years back.
That's on top of me, yeah.
And,
so everybody's welcome.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
Woundedwaters.org. Well, thank you very much. God bless you all for serving as the shoeshine kid from Poughkeepsie, New York. Used to shine shoes on Saturdays when I was 8 and 9. And I always thought highly of those that served. And so I thank you very much
for
serving
each one of you. Don't stop with your insight, Rhett. You help a lot with everything you say. It's not arrogance. Hmm. You know things that these young guys don't know.
Okay, well, you got it. Oh gosh, maybe I should join the board or something. But I'll do whatever I can to help out. And anybody that might be listening to this, please contact woundedwaters.org. I'm glad you were able to keep that, get that. Woundedwaters.org. Folks, remember, someone somewhere needs your random act of kindness. As it is written, give unto others, and your light will rise out of the darkness like the noonday sun. I'm Rhett Palmer. It's a new day. Woundedwaters.org.
Glory, glory, hallelujah. His truth is marching on. Old red, white, and blue stands for everything that's good, right, and true. And me, I'm proud to be an American. And for every patriot that died, we keep Old Glory raised proud and high. We salute that flag of freedom. May its reign never end. Don't burn my flag if you want to be my friend. Glory, glory, hallelujah.
stand up for justice, stand up for what is right. If we'll stand together, we can win this fight. Stand up for the heroes, the patriots that died. Let us stand together to keep this land alive. Stand up for America. Stand up for the red, white, and blue. Stand up for America, where all your dreams can come true. From the Hollywood Hills to Miss Liberty, from the Thousand Islands to Florida Key. Stand up,
stand up for America.
Stand up, stand up.